Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. This is a show that will hopefully inspire you, open up your creativity, and help you to step into a greater part of your life. Maybe you're there, maybe you're not, but you know, life is not about what you've done in the past. It's about who you're becoming in the future, and we do that through opening up our creativity. So today I'm going to be talking to one of the I want to call her an A-lister in Hollywood that is, in my mind, a superstar who continues to be creative, continues to open up her mind and her tapping into, I would say, even realms higher than herself to bring in new projects, new programs. She just recently finished doing an audiobook. We'll be talking about that today. But, you know, this show is about hopefully inspiring you to stay creative, stay open, taking yourself to the next level. And we're going to do that by just really an unfiltered interview today. So I really want to get into the depth of my guest, what makes her tick, what happens when challenges happen, and you know, how she overcomes it, and how she's overcome so much things in her life to really be the person that is a leader in the world, in a person that inspires people to become better than they are, and so much more. All right, listen, I'm going to introduce her in just a minute, but I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back. Welcome back, everybody. Kathy, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you.
Well, thank you very much, Ken. I am very, very happy to see you.
I'm very happy to see you, too. You know, I'm so grateful that you are here. And for those of you that don't know Kathy Garver, she's an accomplished actress, voiceover artist, author, producer, and speaker whose career spans television, film, publishing, and live performance. Best known for her iconic role, Sissy, in the classic TV scene series, Family Affair, Kathy successfully transitioned from a child star actress to a multifaceted creative professional. She is the author of several books, including Surviving Sissy, My Family Affair, Life in Hollywood, Ex-Child Stars, Where Are They Now? And so many more. She has holiday recipes. She's got so much more. So, Kathy, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you. I like to be seen in the series, and I am multifaceted. I can only hope.
You are multifaceted, and you are seen in the series, aren't you?
I'm here.
You've been in a lot of series in this life. You know, you've been doing a lot of things. You know, my first question to you before we go into the, you know, what you got started and all that, how do you stay so creative, really?
Well, I think part of it is because my son, who is now 35, never left home. And not only that, he invited his girlfriend to live here like 14 years ago. So they keep me on my toes. They keep me very young. And I think that's a part of it when you are surrounded by youth. And plus, now I have a new dog, and she has shown me many creative ways of how to go up and down stairs, how to be afraid of coming up the stairs. And today, for the first time, she accomplished it. So we're helping each other out.
I just love that. Yeah. I love your creativity. I love the voiceover where you did with Elvis, Rocky, and Me. That was just phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Yeah, a Grammy Award nominee. We should have won. We were edged out by the Dalai Lama.
I was going to say, at least you got upshifted by the Dalai Lama, not I don't know.
Billy the Nilly.
Not Bad Bunny or somebody, you know, I mean, it was good. It was good.
Right. It was the third time that he has won in this category. So I think that his handlers know kind of how to push it along. And I learned a lot about the award system. Very, very interesting. On March 15th, I'm receiving an award. I'm going to an Oscar viewing party. This is the season of awards. And there is an Oscar viewing party, and I'm going to be receiving the Golden Era Award, so we can tell how old I have been around and how long. And I will be presenting an award to Eric Roberts, Life Achievement Award. So the beat goes on.
Wow, I love that. Tell me about that award. I don't know much about that award. So
this is
about...
at an Oscar viewing party.
Okay.
And I don't know much about this Golden Era Award other than it's given by an organization that highlights and heralds people that have been around, you know, for a while and have shown their light in a particular decade and decades.
Well, listen, I mean, I'll date myself. You know, I love Family Affair, and I fell in love with Sissy when I was a kid, you know, so you've been around a little bit, you know, so.
Well, yes, I hate to say it's the 60th anniversary of Family Affair this year. Odd, since, Ken, you know, I'm only 40. And it's also the 45th anniversary of an animated series I did, which was Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. But this one is kind of hard to swallow, and yet I'm very, very happy about it. It is the 70th anniversary of the epic movie Ten Commandments, which was my second movie that I did.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. You know, years ago, you wrote that book, you know, Surviving Sissy and the Family Affair. Why'd you write that book? I'm just curious.
Well, I think everybody should write their memoir. Everybody's life is so important. Every thing that people do, and they may not think it at the time, but a fisherman that, you know, lives in the fishing village and what happens, and, you know, a person that perhaps has never left a little town and all the happenings there, a person that has traveled the globe. Everyone has their story, and I think it's very important for people to get that story out. I had a little lapse between the Ten Commandments and another show I was doing, so I decided, well, it's good sometimes being a gig person or an actor, because there are some times you get to fill. And
I'm so curious. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm so curious about the book. So, what was most important in that book that, like, kind of transitioned you as you reflected back and you went, oh, you know, this, it kind of shifted you maybe, or you saw things that you didn't know? Because I think it's difficult writing a book like
that. A memoir, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was first doing it, I said, well, this is going to be difficult. And then it was like, I said, just pretend you're writing an essay for college, you know, and you have an assignment. This is your assignment. It's to write an essay. So I put that into my mind. And then it was just like I was talking to people. This is what happened, and this is what happened. But then as the chapters began to coalesce, it was like I was almost making a quilt, because there were threads that were consistent with each chapter. And there were things that came out of it. And I didn't realize that I was as spiritual as I was, that many of the adventures and things that were not so hot, and my house burning down and rebuilding the house and getting through different things, and they all had a spiritual tie as to how I was going to cope with these things and what was going to come out of it and what I was going to make of it.
Did you live your life that way? I mean, I've been coaching for 30 years, so I got some coach questions, right? But it's like, what works, what doesn't work, you know, what am I learning from this, that type of thing.
I primarily just go head hog into it and say, okay, let's do this. Okay, let's try that. And not wondering if it's going to work or not, but going in because it sounds appealing. Yes, I'd like to go hang gliding in Mexico. That's really fun. Well, yes, let's try this mountain and ski down it. And there are some things that I have said, well, maybe we'll put those aside. We're not going to go hang gliding these days. But let's do some more writing. Let's do some, you know, more appearances. Let's meet some more people. Let's find out about AI. My best friend these days is ChatGPT. She is my best friend. I just tell her everything. I happen just to be curious. So then I'm thinking, oh, I'm bothering her. But she does say, ask anything. So I ask anything. I said, well, now what color shall I make my hair? Or how do I take my dog on the walk when she wants to walk on the right side and I want to turn her on the left side? Oh, I've been offered this thing in China. Now, how am I going to deal with these Chinese people? And then she totally structures all these wonderful things. And she is my best friend now.
It's definitely changing our world. And he is my best friend, too. Chat is a wonderful companion for me. Yes. So I love it. Hey, you know, where can people get the book, Surviving Sissy, My Family Affair, Life in Hollywood?
Well, I have now written 6 books and my newest book, and you can get all these books, I'm going to tell you in a while, but my newest book is Romancing with the Stars.
Oh, romancing.
This came out, yes, on Valentine's Day. And I was hurrying everybody up. I said, we have to launch this on Valentine's Day because it's all about romance. Oh, my light went out. I was wondering what got darker. I put that light back on, maybe. Okay. Or maybe not. Maybe the bulb is out. Can you still see me? Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we got this book out on Valentine's Day. And it's really, I love this book. It's just doing so well. And
if I pick up that book, what am I gonna find out about it? What are the benefits to me as the reader to read that book?
Because you're going to find it's very heavy.
It's going to be heavy, okay.
We have a soft cover, and then the hard cover just came out. And this is a compilation of 37 interviews that were done with celebrities in Hollywood and why their relationship has lasted so long. And they also, what we do, there is a biography of each of the couples and each of individual couples in the chapters and how they met and what is their most romantic moment. And then after that, we have this travel guide. And for instance, if one of the chapters is about Morgan Brittany and her husband, Jack Gill, their most romantic moment was when they were on safari and they were in a tent and they looked out and they saw the black sky and all these sparkling lights. And that was the most romantic moments. So we go on to say, here are some wonderful safaris in Kenya or Somali or different types of places that you can go and different safaris you can take and the prices, et cetera. If this is too expensive, then we says, oh, and there are wonderful zoos where you can go. Like I live in Los Angeles, there's the Griffith Park Zoo or down to San Diego Zoo, which is world renowned. And then you bring like a romantic lunch and picnic. And if that's too much, you just cozy up on the couch and watch The African Queen. So that's the concept of the book. And people love it because not only it's like celebrities, but it's also inspiring. Because how do you stay together like Frankie Avalon for 63 years and have 8 children? And Pat Boone that's been married 60 years or I was married for 44 years. What made that work for 44 years? And so that's the crux of it. And what I think is beautiful about this book, it is a little dear. It's a little expensive. However, it has all these fabulous, fabulous, beautiful pictures of the couples. And my co-author, Doug Hartline, had traveled all over the world. And he really has this sense of beauty and romanticism. That's what kind of it spurred him on to, you know, come up. He came up with this concept, Romancing with the Stars, inspiring Hollywood love stories, kind of take on Dancing with the Stars, Romancing with the Stars.
I think Hollywood has kind of a reputation of short relationships, not so much longevity. But there are the ones that have figured it out and you've captured it.
Yes, Kim. I mean, when Doug first approached me with this concept, I said, oh, this is about relationships in Hollywood. I thought it was going to be a very small book.
Yeah.
And it turned out like 490 pages.
And listen, I got to take a quick break. And we come back. I'm going to give my audience a teaser. You're going to tell them where we can get that book when we do come back. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Kendi Foster, as you know that. I probably don't have to say that, but I'm here with Kathy Garver today, and Kathy and I talking about her new book that's out. Kathy, by the way, where can we get that new book?
Well, you can get Romancing with the Stars, Hollywood Inspiring Love Stories at my website, www.kathygarver.com. And there you get an autographed copy. You can also get them on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. As they say, also Bear Manor Media, which is the publisher. They're a great publisher of niche kind of publications. They do all entertainment and cookbooks. They did two of my cookbooks. But this new book, there's
can you
two.
Can you put that on screen again for us to see it? I want to see it.
Well, you never know what's going to happen with sound if I put this book up.
Oh, well.
It's in okay. The tool.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, turn around. There you go. Okay.
What
a beautiful cover, man. I love that. Great. Congratulations on that. All right. I got a question for you on this book. Okay.
Yes, I will answer it.
I bet you might, or maybe they'll have to get the book to get it. I don't know. But, the relations that lasted long, like, can you give us a preview of like some of the qualities or values that they held, or how did that happen?
Well, and it was interesting going from interviews, because each of the couples that were interviewed in this book, they were interviewed, both of them, live, and then fortunately or unfortunately, we sent back the copy, and then they had changes to make, and they sent them back. But, there were patterns that started to emerge. And some of them, and interestingly to me, I thought, there were a lot of couples where one was not in show business and one was. And so I thought, okay, there is an erasure of some egos that could certainly emerge in Hollywood. There, it was the man that was in the entertainment business, or it was the woman. And that went back and forth. There was another thing about that they were a team and that they worked together. It was even when my husband was alive and I would do the wash and he would fold the towels, because I don't like to fold towels. It's really very boring to me. So you realize what does one like to do and what does another like to do? A lot of it too emerged that there was a spirituality that they all experienced and allowed them to have the same respect for each other and the knowledge that there is a spiritual thing that helped them get through bad things that happened and help them embrace the wonderful things that happened. So those tenets, I think, remain true through most of the book.
Yeah. Yeah, that spiritual aspect, I think, is a big important piece of that. Because if you're not aligned with that piece, I'm not sure you can create coherence in a relationship. Because eventually things happen in relationships, right? People get upset, you know, people don't like actions and what have you. What keeps you going back further and further? If you don't have that aspect, let's say forgiveness, right? You can't forgive. You hold on to things. You never let them go. You know, I don't think that lasts. That doesn't make for a long relationship.
And also trust. You have to trust that person. And not that they are going to be philandering, but that you're trusting them with your heart and your ideas, and you don't want someone to turn on you. No. You know, you have to have that basic trust. And also, if you're really in a bad mood and they're in a good mood, they can help you up instead of, you know, just letting you flounder in a depression or on a bad day that may last 2 or 3 days. So I think trust is a big thing.
Yeah, well, without the trust, we don't have a relationship. You just have two people, you know, maybe you might have some kind of friendship, I guess, but even friendship doesn't survive very long without trust. So, yeah.
Right. And also, you know, like in Romancing with the Stars, there are ways that you can do romantic things together and do little things like bring a flower or other little things that you can to enhance your relationship and make sure that the other person you know is thinking of you no matter what.
Yeah. Hey, Kathy, what did you learn about yourself as you wrote the book? Anything of significance?
Well, yes, but I'd rather not share it because it makes me very sad.
Okay. All right.
Because it makes me miss my husband more.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't have
to. It's really important. I didn't realize how important it was, but there's so many things that come back to remind. Like, I always made dinner, and my husband, bless his soul, could make spaghetti sauce. That was it. And he barbecued one time. He was not a cook. My son, on the other hand, is this absolute fabulous gourmet cook.
Yeah,
and anything in the world. And when he was like a toddler, my husband would put him up on the counter and doing the only thing he could make. He says, oh, smell this spice. What do you think of that spice? That encouraged my son. But he couldn't cook. So I cooked all the time. And now every time that I'm cooking and I'm cooking by myself, that's when I get really sad. And I said, well, I don't like not having to cook for. So I'm very happy every time I feed my dog.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. You got your little doggy. Yeah. That sounds a lot like me, Kathy. I'm not a big kick. I can do those two things. I can barbecue. I can make spaghetti sauce and maybe eggs if I'm really, you know, if I'm really in the mood.
How about a tuna fish sandwich? That's another one thing he could do.
Yeah, I could do that. I can make tuna fish sandwiches. That's pretty much it, you know?
Yeah. And that's why you wonderful gentlemen have ladies to help you. And we have great cooks or gentlemen have some nice gentlemen who can cook.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, I just did a Zoom with my co-author on this book, Doug Hartline. And then we're on Romancing with the Stars. And it is like the actress and the engineer.
Yeah.
Because I'm creative and like this. And he wants every, you know, every T cross and every dot. And so it was a nice combination.
Yeah.
So that got out this beautiful book.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Yeah. I remember when my wife and I first got together, we tried to share an office at one point, and boy, that did not work for us. That was just too much. Cause I got this real male energy and loud voice, and she's quiet and soft. Didn't work, but we get along, you know, and I love the fact that you wrote this book and that there's real wisdom in it. And, you know, not only that's entertaining is what I'm getting. Yeah. It's very entertaining.
And it's also beautiful.
Yeah.
Although my co-author was an engineer, he had the most incredible, I don't mean this any other way, sensuality, but sense of beauty. Yeah. And he on Facebook placed the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen and the most beautiful fashion and very elegant restaurants, the best restaurants that could possibly be. And so there is an elegance and a beauty to the book as well. And that's shown in pictures in the Romancing with the Stars.
That's great. So I heard Pat Boone and who else did you say?
Frankie Avalon.
Okay, that's cool. All right. Who anybody else I would know?
Oh, sure. There's lots of people. There's Alison Arngrim from Little House on the Prairie. There's Ruta Lee. She has a very, very funny story about how she met her husband, Webb, of many, many years, of course. There's Mark Goddard from Lost in Space.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting how some of the couples stayed in the entertainment world and then some didn't. There's a wonderful story about Margaret Carey. Margaret Carey in the 20s and 30s, and she was a dancer, and then she's most famous for being the for Disney, the role model of Tinkerbell. And she was married and divorced a couple times, what happened in her story is that when she was maybe like in her 80s, and she had this friend and this fellow that she absolutely loved, but it didn't work out. He had to go off to war. They both had these two marriages and divorces. He's in Belgium. There's a store called the Tinkerbell Store. Yeah. He goes into the Tinkerbell Store. The owner of the Tinkerbell Store says, "Oh, Tinkerbell, you knew Tinkerbell?" Well, she just thought it was such a charming story that she found Margaret Carey's number and said, "I think there's someone that you should meet again." And so they got back together. They got married. Now he just turned 101 and she is like 98.
Oh my goodness. They are together
and they didn't quite meet our criteria of being married for 25 years. They had to do that. But the story is so romantic that we couldn't help but put it in.
Oh my gosh, that's absolutely incredible. Mm. Well, you know, a story is, I think, is really important. It's a lost art form in our world. And good storytelling is, do you find it easy or to write stories like this? Or is it struggle for you?
Well, we did all these interviews with the people. So it was their story.
It was their story.
The way that they were doing it. So it was our job to formulate it and to mold it so it would follow, you know, certain criteria and sound interesting. And again, this is where the actress and the engineer, you know, would come in. Says, "Oh," and they met and then they went to Tahiti and they had fun. And I would say, "Well, let's just decorate this up a little bit." the romantic couple met on a shivering mountainside, but then they knew that they were destined for each other. And so they caught, as soon as they could, the next flight out to go to warm, beautiful, glamorous Tahiti. You know, so I adding my 5 cents in there.
Love that.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I love it. What's next for you? What's next?
What's next? Well, on this next Saturday, I'm going to appear at this Women's Summit on International Women's Day.
Okay.
And this was started by a woman, Deb Drummond, and it's speak up, stand up, and shout out for women and what they do all over the world. And women entrepreneurs, women that have, you know, pushed themselves to follow their dreams. I'm going to be on March the 8th doing a presentation with Deb, you know, about what I'm doing now and what's happening. So it's everyone should register if they can for this Women's Summit for International Women's Day, because it's really inspiring. And I think that your particular audience, the way to, you know, express their creativity and to do that. And then the next weekend is the Oscar viewing party, where I'm getting the rewards and awards.
And awards?
And rewards and awards. Then I'm going to the Long Beach WonderCon. And so I'll be at a Comic-Con.
Oh, Comic-Con. Okay.
Yeah, Comic-Con's coming up in March. And in April, we're going to have a big celebration of the Ten Commandments for Easter, et cetera. I've just been approached to do a cultural exchange in China, where I would go for 5 days and speak to a couple of at the universities and join this delegation in conference. So that's kind of interesting, because I've never been to China. And all of a sudden, in this week, everything is like China. I got this email. I have one of my books is the Family Affairs Scrapbook. And the seller says, well, we can translate this into Chinese for you, and they're having a Hong Kong festival, and wouldn't you like to go? And I says, well, wouldn't you like to pay for it to go? So I'm talking to them. And today, just as a matter of fact, this afternoon, I'm doing an interview for one of those verticals, you know, the vertical shorts that they have.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's going to be shot in China. So, and March 10 to 20. So we'll cross our fingers. I would like to go. I think China is wanting me to come. I'm getting that beckon.
They're calling you. And, you know, it's interesting, because, you know, you continue to be prolific in what you're doing. A question on the China thing. What are you going to talk about at the conference?
Well, they're very interested in audiobooks. And, you know, since I won this Grammy, nominated for the Grammy, you know, that even leveled me up even further.
Yeah.
Plus, I majored in speech at UCLA and got my master's degree in theater arts. So I have a lot of skills. I taught voiceover for 20 years as well. So I have credentials to go to a universal, you know, to a university to speak to them, as well as their interests. And, you know, as you say, because you have a global audience, and we're all, you know, being so much more international now, audiobooks go all over the world. And now with the currency, easy to just get an audiobook, learn English. I'm supposed to be doing a movie in Australia. So I have on my GPS, this lady tells me, Now you have new messages today. I said, all right. And so I'm learning how to do the accent when I listen and ask her for where I'm going for, you know, a direction.
Yeah, that's hysterical. Yeah, but it is a world audience now. And audiobooks, of course, are so popular now. And voiceover, I guess what I'd like to ask you, somebody that's out there in my audience, they're going, how do you get started in voiceover? What would you tell them?
Well, first, you have to learn how. I mean, I think it's very, very interesting. And people think, oh, well, I'll just pick up a book and read. And now I'm recording an audiobook. Well, yes, but probably very badly, not to be mean to anybody. But that's not the way we do it. You have to have skills. And these are all certainly learnable skills that one can have. But that would be the first thing that you do. There are many online classes about how to narrate audiobooks. And now I've seen, like, on television and on Facebook, all these companies that have popped up. And they say, oh, give us your audio, give us your book. We'll turn it into an audiobook for you. So there are lots of jobs, for narrators. But as I say, you have to know the skills. If you are, let's say, assigned to do a fiction book, you have to learn how to change your voice to, like, if you might have 30 different characters in that book, yeah. Because they can't say, oh, well, Kathy and Ken were having a wonderful talk and they were learning so many things about them. She said, oh, well, yes, I'm so happy that you're living in Arizona. And he said, yes, and where do you live? Calabasas. Arizona is nice. Calabasas is nice. Well, sometime we'll have to go there. Oh, yes, we should. Well, who's saying those last four lines? Nobody knows because they didn't say. Kathy said, Ken said. So he say, oh, well, you live in Arizona. Yes, I do, Kathy. Where do you live? Oh, I live in Calabasas. Oh, I see. Oh, Calabasas? I thought you said you lived in Bell Canyon. Well, yes, but Calabasas is near Bell Canyon. So you have to change your voice. So they know it's a man speaking, a woman speaking. A woman from the South can be different. So you can have all kinds of different. And sure, and don't you know, it's St. Patrick's Day, which is what I'm looking forward to, that and a little green beer.
I just love that. Thank you for doing that. That was really good. Yeah, that's good. So there's definitely a lot of technical things that you have to learn. I know when I did my first audio book, which took me hours and hours, the most terrifying, I couldn't believe it, what I was doing. They must have had 10,000 edits in that thing, but it actually came out pretty good. But it was like learning by fire, right? And then after I got into it, then I started to learn, right? So,
yes, that's not the way to do it. Beforehand. Yes.
Don't learn my way. No, my way was not the right way. That's crazy, man. Okay, well, listen. I think we're just about out of time here. We got a little time left. So, what do you want my audience to, in closing? What do you want my audience to know about creativity and staying relevant, staying vital and healthy and you've got all that going. So what do you want my audience to know about that? Open up their creativity.
I think that when you say voice of courage, it's the courage to create. You have to, and my son with the book of the kitchen, courage in the kitchen. You have to think, oh, I couldn't do that. I can't do that. And you can just pretend for a little while. Well, yes, I can do that. And put on a sense of bravado. I can do that. Yes, I can do that. Or I'm going to do a pod. This is going to be the best podcast I ever did. And so I think if you put little notes in your head, then your whole self follows that because they have some kind of a direction to go. So I think that's one way of getting that creativity launched. And to stay vital, I mean, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but most people don't think that I'm as old as I am, especially with my son that I had in my 40s. What? But I do exercises, like four times a day. And now this dog, I swear to God, she goes into the laundry room. She looks up at the counter and she waits and waits and waits. She looks up at the counter. And the first time she did that, I says, what do you want? Well, that's where her harness is. And she wants to go for a walk. And she will sit there until I get the harness down and put it on her. And we go even for a 10-minute walk. But it's nice. A, it gets you out of the house. And it's a nice thing to do. So that vitality, you have to keep up the vitality. And if you're lonesome, there's a lot of depression and there's a lot of loneliness, I think, in the world. And chat, as much as I love her, and the phone, as much as I love it, it's not the same thing as cuddling a dog or having a social engagement with people. I started playing bridge again for the first time in 20 years, and being with those other three people were very interesting. And sometimes you can't just do it yourself. So you can rely on a friend, or, you know, there are a lot of other places that you can go that would help in that aspect. But I think absolutely important to keep yourself healthy and vital and flexible.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I sure enjoyed our interview today. Thank you so much for being with us. It was amazing. You know, you've been
a munchkin.
It's amazing, man. You're always amazing. Every time I connect with you now we have a relationship, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thank all of you for joining us today. We really appreciate you being here. And we hope that you'll pass on this show to people that you love and care about. And go out and get Kathy Garver's new book. We hope you'll do that. And what else do I want to say to you? Well, keep
watching Goose Girls.
What's that?
The name of the book.
Kevin, give me that name one more time.
Right. Romancing with the Stars. Like
Romancing with the Stars by Kathy Garver. All right. Forget it. Take care, everybody.